Well, the title of my sermon is Will There Be Faith? Will There Be Faith? And you're going to be turning to Luke 18, and we're going to read the first 8 verses of Luke 18. Father, thank you for the word of the Lord. Your word never returns void without accomplishing that to which you've sent it, Lord. May the seed be deposited in good soil today. May it fall on good soil so that we can grow and mature and be the representation that you have called us to be in this earth, God, at this time and this season. Give us faith, Lord, and increase our faith so that we can continue to do the works of God. In Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. So the title is, Will There Be Faith? All of us have went through this season. It's been a very interesting season, I think we were talking at our family table, you know, everybody wants to cross over into 2021 and it to be totally different. I don't know what they think is going to happen. Like, we've got this Cinderella image that when the clock strikes midnight, all of a sudden something's going to change and go away, you know. And yet our Father is very strategic in what he does. He's very strategic, and he will have his way in the earth, and he will produce what he is calling into effect at this hour, and he will use every single part of it to develop us, to increase our faith, to cause us to get to know him greater and better. And he's very strategic in the way that he does things. So I've been listening to myself in this season. I've been listening to the words that come out of my mouth. I'm a heart person. So I'm always going inside and saying, what is the motivation for why you said that? And why did you say that? And why did you think that? And was that God or was that not God? Was that human reasoning or human thought processes? And, you know, that's how we're supposed to be. The Bible says if you examine yourself, you will not be judged in that way. You know, if you examine yourself, it's very important to examine your motives. Why you do what you do. Why you say what you say. It's very important to listen to the thoughts that are crossing your mind because the enemy puts thoughts there, the world puts thoughts there, and you have to pay attention. So it's almost this self-awareness by the Spirit of God gives you kind of an understanding of what's going on inside of you, and you can correct things that way. That's why the Bible says we cast down imaginations, thoughts, every high and lofty thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. So always there's this strategic warfare that's going on, and that's why he equipped you with the Holy Spirit and with power and gave you his DNA. He planted his seed inside of you, the very seed of God, the Holy Spirit, so that you would be able to counter and be able to accept from God the things of God and counter the things that are not of God. And he gave you this life-giving spirit. That's what they call it in the Word of God. The life-giving spirit lives in you. So I'm paying attention to how I'm responding to things so that I can hear if there's something inside of me that needs to be corrected or that needs to be countered. Or is it a word from the Lord that I need to agree with and I need to stand my ground on? And all of that is done by faith. The Bible says that he has given every person a measure of faith. And that faith increases as we walk with God, as we see God demonstrate his wonders, because we're not always in waiting seasons. Eventually, he births what he said he is going to birth. And he brings to pass what he says he's going to bring to pass. But I think many give up in the waiting season. They don't have a persistence of faith. They're not willing to allow their self to be developed, to mature, and to grow. And God is challenging, and I feel the strength of the prophetic word, God is saying to His people in this hour, you must be conformed into my image and my likeness, and you must put away all excuses for not being willing to go further with me. Because I'm coming back for a bride without spot or blemish. And often the challenges and the difficulty and the things that you're going through are the very things that you need to develop you into the image and the likeness of Christ, which, by the way, has been prophesied over all of our lives. You are predestined to be conformed into the image and the likeness of God, but you must cooperate with God to see it happen. So I've been paying attention to how do I respond to people? Do I get angry? Do I get frustrated? Are there things inside of me that God is challenging? Yes! I hope there's things that He's challenging in you. And then I hope you also hear the yes of God. That was a good response. I like the way that you walked with me through that difficult time and you still kept the faith. So it's very important. Faith is believing in something or someone and giving our entire life to it. Our entire life. When we came to Jesus Christ at that altar or wherever we were, when we came to Jesus, you know what we said at that moment? I'm giving you my entire life. For you to develop, for you to live in me, for you to have your way in my life. I surrender. I'm going to do it your way, God. You lead me and I'll follow. Well, if you're like me, I've kind of gave him a wrestling match every now and then. I've kind of told him a few times I ain't going that way. I'm not going to do it that way. Oh, y'all look innocent this morning. But it always cost. But here's the beauty. He can reroute. It's just like a GPS system. Only I can mess up the GPS system and not know where I'm going even when it tells me what to do. Make a right, and I go left. Do this and do that, and I'm like, no, there must be that next street. I must have missed it. But the system will say, reroute, turn around, go in a different direction. We're going to make a U-turn and get back on course. Our nation is in the process of a U-turn to get it back on course, and where it's called to be by God is now at a place where it's going to be painful. How many have ever been disciplined by your father or your mother? Oh, yeah. I tell y'all stories all the time about my childhood, and my daddy really wasn't really one to discipline us much. My mom, we called Iron Pants. We called her Iron Pants. She was tough. Seven kids and you had to be tough, you know. And Mama would say, if I have to come up there one more time, I'm going to bring my belt up there and y'all are going to, I told you to be quiet up there and go to sleep, you know. But when daddy got to a place when he was going to move, we'd go get a spanking. Because he had told us over and over again. And you know, the Bible talks about this in Hebrew. He says, your fathers, they discipline as it seems best to them. But the Heavenly Father always corrects out of the right motive, the right heart. He corrects to see fruit and to develop you as a person, and never out of anger, and never out of vengeance. And you can trust Him. He's our pattern in what it's like to have a good father. Faith is believing in Him so much that we surrender our entire life to His leadership and His guidance. It's a knowing that He lives in me, and I'm aware of His presence. That's faith. when we come to places in the Bible where we see interesting parables from Jesus, there's so much to learn from the things that Jesus taught in parables. And he was always correcting the disciples by saying, "Oh, you of little faith," right? You read those and you're like, "Daggone it, I messed up again," you know? But he never gave up on them. He would always be telling them, you know, increase your faith. How do we increase our faith? How do we increase our faith? I think the things that I want to cause you to see this morning is two areas. One of them is persistent faith, and the other one is the testing of our faith that produces the character of God in our life. These are the things that I want to bring across this morning by the parables of Jesus in chapter 18, and then we're going to be going to James 1. But I just have some questions that I want us to think about this morning when it comes to our faith and where our faith has been placed. Because sometimes until you challenge yourself about what you believe, you will continue to walk in your beliefs, even though they're totally opposite of what God says. Now, the Bible makes it very clear that Christ heals, that he's a healer. That by the wounds and the stripes of Jesus, we are made whole. But do we believe that? I believe in physicians, and I believe that God uses physicians, don't you? And yet, I believe in the supreme supernatural power of the divine God. And often the Lord will challenge me in that area. Do you still believe me, Rebecca, for healing? As I've often used myself as an example, I remember when I had just gotten married at 19 and I wanted to have a baby and I couldn't have a baby. I was bulimic. I had been bulimic since I was 15 years old. And I binged and purged repeatedly all day long because of the lack of value that I had in myself. And I remember one day in particular, I sent my husband off to work, and I'm standing in my living room. I had went and binged and purged, and I knew, I mean, I was so sick, mentally, physically, spiritually, so sick, and I thought to myself, I'm going to die. And I'll never forget getting down in the floor of that puke green carpet and just throwing my hands up to heaven with tears streaming down my face and saying, if you don't heal me, I'm going to die. And instantly feeling a supernatural power from God. I can't describe it. You just know when you've encountered the supernatural power of God. My whole body lit on fire. I don't know that I would believe in supernatural power had I not experienced it. Because it's one thing to read it and 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 say, well, Jesus did that, and Jesus did that, and Jesus did that, and you know Jesus did that. But then if you never see it, it challenges you in your faith. Always the Word of God, after a season of believing, must be manifested. Me and my sister talked about this. It's not enough to just say it. You must see the demonstration of God's power. And I think what we have oftentimes happen is we have to stimulate ourselves in the Holy Spirit and believe that God still does what he says. We must examine our heart to see if we still believe and have faith in the God who does supernatural healing. Do you challenge yourself in that area? God, I believe that you are the God of supernatural healing. I believe that by your wounds and your stripes I'm whole. And you say, well, I believed and he didn't answer. I believed and that person died. We've had people this year that we've prayed for on the prayer chain, and we've believed God for supernatural healing. We don't have all the answers, but we must always have faith in God He has the final say. Our job is to believe. Our job is to still believe. Do we believe in angels? Do we believe in demons? Do we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, though we have never seen Him? Do we live as if we believe Him? Because that's faith. It takes faith to believe. Do we believe that what the Bible describes as sin is still sin today? Because many people have said, well, you know, God is evolving. He doesn't care if people are homosexual. He doesn't care if people lie or steal or, you know, the grace of God is sufficient. I'm asking you questions. Do you believe in heaven? Because many don't. Do you believe in a hell? Because many have said, I don't believe in a God who would send anybody to hell. A God that sends people to hell is a God I don't want to believe in. And my challenge to them is, you've never experienced pure evil. Let someone rape your child. Let someone murder your mother or your father. Let someone do an evil to you that you can't recover of. You see, there are good people who are led by the Spirit of God and love God, and there are evil people who want nothing to do with God. And there is a place reserved for those who reject Jesus. If you've ever been violated, if you've ever had injustice, if you've ever experienced that, you will believe that there is a place for people who reject the Son of God. If you've ever experienced God's grace to the place that you've been transformed and changed, you will believe in heaven. If you've ever lost a loved one and sent them on their way to glory, and you're waiting and anticipating the day when you're going to see their face. I dreamed about my mom this week. Every now and then, I'll go through long seasons and not think. But I guess the holidays have stimulated my mind and my thoughts. And I saw my mom, and she goes, I'm just going to... My mom loved to lay in the sun. She loved to be in the sun. And she looked at me in this dream and she goes, I'm just going to lay here in the sun. And I looked at her and the sun was shining on her face. And she was radiantly beautiful. And I thought, oh, Mama, I miss you. Heaven is a place where we believe those we love have went on and we're going to see them again. I have faith in that. There's many other things that are coming to pass in this time. Systems are being set up. Do you believe in the Antichrist? Do you believe in the mark of the beast? Do you believe? There are certain things that are in this word, and I have to say, do you believe the Bible? Because many are saying now, it's just a history book, and it's not true. And, you know, what about the dinosaurs? And what about this? And piece by piece and thought by thought, they dismantle it. And their faith is no longer in this book. It's in man. And I don't know about you, but I would rather fall into the hands of God than men. In the times that we live in, it calls for great faith. It calls in trust, a trust in God. Faith and trust hold hands. And it only comes from relationship with Jesus. Let the relationship with Jesus grow cold, and your faith grows cold with it. All of a sudden, you don't trust God, because in this world, it's hard to trust people. It's hard to trust myself, let alone people. But to trust is deeper than faith, though faith and trust go hand in hand, and that comes through relationship. So it's important that we're following and deepening our relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's go to chapter 18 in the book of Luke. Also, Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to turn coward, to faint, to lose heart, and to give up. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither reverenced and feared God nor respected or considered man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, "Protect and defend me. Give me justice against my adversary." And for a time, he would not. But later he said to himself, "Though I have neither reverence or fear for God, nor respect or consideration for man, yet because this widow continually bothers me, I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me intolerable annoyance and wear me out by her continually coming. Or at the last she comes and rail on me and assault me and even strangle me." Then the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not our just God defend and protect and avenge his elect, his chosen ones, who cry to him day and night? Will he defer them and delay help on their behalf? I tell you, he will defend and protect and avenge them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in faith on the earth?" Will he find faith on the earth? As things continue to move forward and the delay of Christ's return continues, we continue to cry out, "Please come, Lord Jesus." As the days get darker, as the time gets more intolerable, as we see more and more evil, as things are shaken and shaken and shaken again, we keep coming to the Lord in our prayer and we say, "Lord, please come. 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 We need you to come. Hurry up and come. We need you to deliver us. We need you, Lord. We need you." There's something about believing to the place to where you never give God a break. You just keep coming to him and saying over and over and over again, "Avenge me. Avenge me of my adversary. Step in. You're the God who heals. Move in my circumstance and move in my situation and come quickly, Lord Jesus." And you know, you won't let God off the hook from his word. You're going to keep banging on that door and knocking on that door until he moves. And when you have a promise from God and you have the word of God backing up that promise, a person will grow stronger and stronger and stronger in their faith as they continually approach God and say, "This is what your word says. This is what you say. This is what you told me." I am constantly reminding God of his promises. How many do? You always tell me, you told me, God, that you would do this. And you told me, God, that you would do this. And you said that you were going to move in this way and in this circumstance. Even in the nation, the prophets have spoken. And because of the delay and because of the circumstances and because of all the things that are going on, people are like, are you going to do what you said? And many have said, oh, well, those prophets are liars, man. We can't trust any of them. And sometimes I think that's an excuse for them not to believe. Instead of challenging their own faith, it's easy to blame it on other people. Anytime I look at other people and say, well, this didn't happen because of them, I have to look at my own heart and say, what's in there? Why am I doubting God's word? And every time, it's me. I don't believe what he said. Is that too honest this morning? I open this up by saying, what are you listening to and what do you believe? Are you petitioning God like this woman? This was an unjust judge. He cared nothing for her. She meant nothing to him. And yet she continued to petition, petition, petition. Some of you have nonstop for 20 years prayed for your loved ones. Nonstop. Waiting for a miracle. Waiting. And can I say to you that it would be better that we continue to bombard heaven with our prayers and our faith and let God, the Holy Spirit, do his job on that person's heart than to enter into heaven having given up our faith and say, well, I just didn't see anything. We do not live by what we see. Though eventually it is manifested, the Bible says that we walk and we regulate our life by faith, by the convictions that we believe in this word and in our relationship with God. And this year, it is being shaken. And it's not going to stop being shaken. I know everybody wants the clock to strike midnight and we to just roll over into 21 and to have peace and we're sick of the face masks and we're sick of all the politics. Don't you know that these things must come to the surface? Don't you know that when there's things wrong, that the only way to correct it when it's gone this far is for God to step in it? Didn't you see that when Christ came? He stepped into a broken world. He stepped into 400 years of silence. The prophet had spoken in Malachi nothing for 400 years. Then he steps into the scene and he steps into the mess and he steps into your circumstances and my circumstances and sin and political affairs and disruption. And he stepped into it. And don't you know that's going to be the same when he comes again? These things were meant to challenge our faith. They were meant to challenge us to believe. They were meant to press us to the head of, to the bosom of the Father, to come into his presence and say, oh God, even if I never see it in my generation, I will continue to believe. What are we called? Believers. People of faith. People that believe in a God they haven't seen. But they can sense him because he lives in us. She kept coming and coming, reminding him, vindicate me, vindicate me, vindicate me. And the promise from Jesus was this, I tell you, I'll come speedily. Now, God speedily is a little bit different than our speedily. We're used to 30 seconds in the microwave and it's done. I remember listening to Joyce Myers because I listened to her so much, you know, as God was helping me to overcome so many things in my life. And I remember listening to her and she has a book or a video and it was called When God When. Why God Why? When God When. And she said she would just go to the Lord, and she goes, when are you going to do what you said? When are you going to give me the ministry that you promised? When are you going to do these things? When are we going to have enough money? When are we going to have this or that? Or when are you going to do what you said you were going to do 20 years ago? And she said she would just hear the word, soon. And then she would go and she would be so discouraged, and she would go to a prophetic meeting where there would be people there that were gifted in the gift of prophecy, and she would say, oh, they're going to call me up today, and they're going to, and they would say, you over there, God just wants to say soon. How many have gotten those, wait, soon? It's been 2,000 years. Generations have died waiting for his return. You read the epistles, they were always looking for him. They died not seeing him come, but they never stopped believing, and they never stopped preparing the next generation for the return of Christ. When is he coming? Soon. Speedily, with vengeance against his enemies. When will he judge the affairs of men? Soon. Speedily. When will that person change? Soon. When will God answer that prayer? Soon. Any promise from God, he will fulfill if you keep believing. Jesus said to Martha and Mary at the place where Lazarus was dead and had been in the tomb for 4 days. He waited intentionally. Waited. He comes strolling in. The mourners were already there. Lazarus had already been placed in the tomb for 4 days. It looked as if it was over for Lazarus. They come running. Oh, Lord, if you had been here, if you had just been here, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. He wouldn't have died. You would have healed him. But now, it's too late. Oh, Martha. Did I not say that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? My faith is being tested in this season. I'm being tested in what I believe. I've had to turn off some of this stuff because it's been overwhelming to me. And I've had to just go back before the Lord and say, you're not a man that you should lie. You will keep your word. You will do what you said in your time and in your way. And my job is to believe. The Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Abraham was told, take your son, your only son. A foreshadowing of the New Testament and what God would give. And take him up on Mount Moriah. Take him up there where I tell you to. And there I want you to give him as an offering. A sacrifice. Can you imagine? But Abraham, the Bible says, his faith grew stronger as he gave praise to God. And it says that he believed God so much that he could offer his son because he had already offered him in his heart and knew that he would rise from the dead even if he killed him. That challenges my faith. I want to challenge yours today because I want us to grow. Her persistence, her steadfastness, her constant knocking, coming to this unjust judge, believing that he should do something, irritated this judge so much, who was very wicked, that he just said, I'm just going to answer. I'm just going to do everything that you want. And I say, some of you have let go way too soon. You were right on the brink of breakthrough. Don't give up at the brink of breakthrough. Go all the way. Go all the way through. Keep believing. Even if on days, like I've had days, where I say like the man, I believe, help my unbelief. Keep trusting until you get an answer. Keep believing. And you say, well, I've done that and I've been disappointed. Well, sometimes our hope is not in Christ and it's not what God wanted for us. It's in our own wants and our own desires. And those times are shaking and shaping us, sifting us, causing us to come back and say, did God really say that, or was that just my own wants? And that's part of believing, is going through the process of learning and hewning and sharpening and saying, God, was that you? Did you say that, or was that just something in me? And everybody comes to that in their life. Everybody. Whether it's large or small, we all come to those places. And the only thing I can tell you is, you got to get alone with Christ and get your answer from Him. Our job is to continue to believe. Our job is to trust the Lord. Our job is to have confidence in Him. When He comes, this is an open-ended question by Jesus Himself. When I come, will there be faith in the earth? That challenges me. Will I still believe? If things continue to go as they are, or what if they get worse in 2021? So many people are saying, well, if it gets any worse than this, I'm just done. Will I keep believing in the goodness of God if things get worse? Will I keep my faith in Him and say that He's a good Father? Will I still believe God? Those are questions we need to ask ourselves, and we need to resolve in us the answer before anything happens. Because there's not much you can do with a person that has resolved in their heart that no matter what happens, I'm still going to believe Christ. I'm still going to believe the Word. I'm still going to trust in Him. There is much to be gleaned in this season, and I pray that you are gleaning so much in this season from the Lord, because I truly am. And I want all of us to be looking to Christ and saying, what can I learn from this season? What do I need to pray? What do I need to have faith in? How do I need to further myself into the image and the likeness of Christ? James put it this way in James 1, as a servant of God and as the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad among the Gentiles and to the dispersion, greetings and rejoice. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and the proving of your faith brings out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. And if any of you is deficient in wisdom, then let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given him. Only it must be in faith that he asks,
with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, or doubts is like the billowing surge out at the sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly let no such person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating and doubting, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. What a statement from James. What a challenging passage of Scripture. These trials are for your good. And then they throw tomatoes and apples and things at the pastor. Because it's hard for us to imagine that the things that we're going through at this very moment are producing something good. But it's all how we take what we've been given and see what God's what we're going to allow God to do with it. Fruit has to be developed, and fruit is only developed through squeezing. How do you know it's an orange? You peel it off and you begin to eat it. A banana has to be peeled back. Fruit is tested. It's squeezed. It goes through difficulty. How do you develop patience? By having to wait. How do you develop endurance? By long seasons of waiting. How do you get self-control? These are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. By being in control of your emotions at a time when it feels like you're ready to explode. I remember going to a basketball game with my daughter Grace, and my son Daniel was playing. He was playing at Beverly Hills down in Huntington. He was on their basketball team, and he's out there, and you know, they've got a really good player, and he's out there, and he's doing his thing, and he steals the ball from the player, and they ended up making a score and ended up winning the game. But in the process of this, I had my daughter Grace with me, my husband Brian, and there was a little girl there, and she followed my daughter Grace around and just cussed her, said terrible things to her the whole entire time. And I'm getting irritated. You know, are y'all got some mama bears out there? Get a little fiery when somebody messes with your kids. Daddies, get a little irritated when somebody messes with your children or your wife, you know. I have been praying for more of the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit to be developed in my life. And now I'm at this place, and this girl, we leave, and I'm taking my kid out, and she comes right up to my daughter, Grace, and just gets in her face and just begins to spew out. And Mama got mad. And all of a sudden, I did not feel the spirit of self-control. I felt, I'm going to thump your little butt. I mean, you're going down, girl. I mean, I don't know. And I'm sitting there, and I know I'm blowing this test, right? Because the tests were meant to show you what you have and you don't have. Right? The waiting was meant to show you how much patience you have. Why do they give you exams in school? So you know where you are. Why do they do the end of the year testing? So you know where you are, what you learned, what you didn't learn, what you still have to learn. And I'm standing there with this girl, and I'm just like, oh. And my daughter just looks at me, who has amazing self-control, by the way. And she goes, Mama. And as I left, I just told the police officer, I said, you need to get that girl under control over there. But the revelation was this. Failed. It's okay, because guess what? There was another opportunity to see if I would pass the next test on the fruit and the development of self-control. Count it all joy, James said, tongue in cheek. How How do we know that God heals when we go through seasons when we haven't been healed yet? We continue to believe and trust the Lord for His divine intervention. We do everything that we can. I've prayed and prayed for my husband for the last few weeks. I've watched him in terrible pain. And I'm like, Lord, why haven't you healed him? Some of these tests are absolutely painful. They're not comfortable. But they're necessary. I don't always like them. Why did you take my mom? Why did you do it that way? Why did you let my first husband die? Why? These are questions and trials that develop our relationship in God. And they bring us to this place. At some point, I've got to have faith in God. And I've got to believe what He said. And I've got to have peace. Patience, peace, development, they come through trial. They come through seasons. And without the trials, we remain shallow. We say we have faith, but faith is revealed in seasons of testing. If we don't go deeper in our relationship, it's easy to come up here in a comfortable sanctuary and believe that God delivers every single time the way that I want Him to when I'm not challenged because I'm not in Nigeria and they've just came into the camp and they've pulled out their guns and they've shot every single believer in the camp. It's easy for me to believe in a comfortable place. So difficult in a place of hardship. You say, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to listen to anything that makes me feel like things aren't going to get better quickly. There is no guarantee that next year is going to be any better than it has been this year. But God remains the same. And if He wants to conform us into His image and His likeness because maybe we're not there yet, we're going to have to submit to Him and let Him do it. I've grown weary of a fancy church with little power. People are still demon-possessed, but now we say, oh, that's just a chemical imbalance. You know, there's some that are chemical imbalances, but not all. Do we believe the Bible? Everywhere Jesus went, He cast out demons. And He said, and you're to do this. But we never see it in the church. We have a whole generation growing up that have never seen demons cast out. They've never seen miracles. They've never seen people filled with the Holy Spirit. They've never seen people prophesy. They've never seen the gifts of the Spirit operating in the church. They've never seen it. They've never seen it. You know why? Because as long as man can do it and bring forth a comfortable atmosphere, without desperate times, you don't see the power of the Holy Spirit because as long as man can do it and give themselves glory, they're going to do it. I want more of the Holy Spirit. And I think God is going to bring us to those places. I think it's right ahead of us. I think we're going to see the demonstration of the power and the glory of God like we have never seen it before. And it's going to come in the darkest of times. And it's going to be good. Because our Father is a good Father. And He knows what we need. If we have his promises, we can be sure that every word that he has given us will come to pass, and it will come to pass his way. We must get to the place to where we believe God and his word more than we believe media, more than we believe the teachers in school that are twisting the minds of our young people. We must believe them more than CNN and Twitter and Facebook. And we must get to the place in our relationship with God where we, his word is greater and the first and foremost of our faith. What we believe is this word and what he says. And we must challenge our own hearts to believe it, because we're going to be challenged. Our faith and our intimacy and our trust in God will only come through that time that we're willing to spend with him. Hebrews 11 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God, because you must believe that he is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It can't be passive. We have to diligently pursue God. We must believe that he is. We must come near to him in our time of prayer and fellowship with him and read our word. We must know the Bible and know God, constantly seeking him out. He says, those that seek me shall find me. We must believe that he is, that he's real, that he exists, that what he says trumps any words of anybody else, that he rewards those who earnestly seek him, that eventually, over time, he brings about the promises of his own word and he fulfills them, bringing a reward to those who love and trust him. So today, I challenge you to take a look and listen to your own heart. Listen, but the heart is deceitful above all else. Who can know it? Listen to what you're saying. Listen to your thoughts. Listen and pay attention to your motives, why you do what you do, why you believe what you believe. And then begin to challenge your thoughts of the world that are coming in. Is that what God said, or is that what the world says? You're going to have to be active in this time and in this season, so that when you're challenged by the circumstances of life, you're going to respond in accordance to God's word. Do you believe the Bible is true? Do you believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, or forever? Or do you believe he's evolving? He hasn't changed. The same God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New. He's the same. Do I believe in God? Do I believe in Christ? Do I believe that the blood still heals? Do I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? Do I believe in the gifts of the Spirit? Do I believe in the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Does my life reflect that? Do I reflect that in the lives of other people? And if you can answer those questions, and if you can look at yourself in that way, and if you can pay attention, you'll find the answer of where you are. And that will be very important as you move forward. Let's stand to our feet this morning. When he comes, will there be faith in the earth by me? Will Rebecca still believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Will Rebecca still believe that Jesus heals? Will Rebecca still believe that Jesus provides? Will Rebecca still believe? That's the question I have for myself. And it has been challenged week after week and month after month this year. Because to be changed, you have to examine your hearts, your heart, and see where you are. And I'm not content to be where I am. I'm not happy being in a place of apathy. I'm not happy being in a place of uncertainty within my own thoughts. I want to know God, and I want to continue to pursue him.
Perseverity and faith in Jesus Christ brings salvation and eternal life. And faith and trust in God makes the impossible possible. And I want very much to have faith when He comes. And if I'm still here, I want to believe. And if I pass on, I want to still believe. Father, as we come before You this morning, I know that many here are weary and they're tired and they're sleepy. I can feel that in the room. But I pray that the deepness of this word, this challenging word to all of us, would touch our hearts. It was a question to me. When I come, will You still believe me, Rebecca? When I come, will You still have confidence in me? I don't want to disappoint You. Help me to have faith. Help me to trust You. Thank You for shaking me, Shane. Thank You for not leaving me the same this year. Thank You for the trials. Thank You for the difficulty. It proves that You're my Father and I need a Father who loves me, who wants me to be developed, who wants me to grow to represent You in the earth until You come. Thank You for not giving up on me nor Your people. I pray, Father, for Your people, that in the seasons to come, we will be people of greater faith and trust, and that we will believe You more. Father, if there's anyone listening and they've never put their confidence in You, and at this very moment, they're thinking about their life and how that they've never given it to Christ, I pray, Father, that they would feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and that You would draw them to You. And that at this very moment, they would confess their sins and their life and lay it at Your feet and say, I believe that You are the Son of God, Jesus. I believe that You're the sacrifice that took my place, that You took away all of my sins through Your blood, and that I believe that in the deepest part of my being, I can be healed, body, soul, and spirit, mind, will, and emotions. I pray, Father, right now, that You apprehend that soul and bring them into Your kingdom. And if there are people that are backslidden and they've walked away from their faith, because Jesus has expressly said that those who finish, those who go all the way, those who persevere until the end, it is those that will be saved. May, O God, we return back unto You, once again placing our faith and our trust and our confidence in You. And be the people of God that You've called us to be. And when the world around us is shaking, may we be the unmovable people who walk in faith and have peace in the midst of the storms of life. In Jesus' name, and amen. Amen.